episode 200.
It wasn't that many years ago in this industry that people were very protective of what they knew or how they might share it. And what your podcast has done is your podcast is blowing the doors open on that and giving people a venue for being willing to have the new openness about sharing their knowledge, their experience, and helping others.
Welcome, aftermarketers, to Remarkable Results Radio. Listen to learn just one thing from today's episode on your journey to remarkable results. Welcome, aftermarket professionals, to a very special episode of the Remarkable Results Radio podcast. Yes, this is the 200th. And I'm Tom Capriotto, your podcast host, connecting people that care about building a stronger aftermarket. And ironically, that's what the retrospective is all about. Hey, I'm so happy to have again this year the commitment of my sponsor, Federal Mogul Motor Parts. Their support, both last year and this year, have made it all possible. Now, next time you need innovation and quality, you need Federal Mogul Motor Parts. Brands like Moog, Felpro, Wagner Brake, Anko, Champion, Seal Power, FP Diesel, and more. Now, they're the parts techs trust. Find out more at fmmotorparts.com, and thank you. Hey, you can find the show notes page at remarkableresults.biz/E200, and keep in mind that this episode is available not only in podcast audio, but also in video form on the show notes page. You can also find the video on my Carm Capriotto YouTube channel. Hey, also don't hesitate to send me an email on your commentary on the show, maybe a guest opportunity, or on a subject you'd like covered on a Town Hall Live. My email is carm@remarkableresults.biz. I'd love to hear from you. You know, the podcast continues to grow our listener base, and thanks to so many that have downloaded the podcast app. Go to your app store, search for Remarkable Results Radio, and download. It only takes a few minutes, and you get the latest episodes at your fingertips. And you also get a huge archive to enjoy. Hey, thanks for the social connections. Here's to Lisa Eckler, Jamie Wyden, and Kevin Fitzpatrick for the new Facebook likes, and Alan Jansen, Caitlin Bethanis, and Michael Schultz for their new LinkedIn connections. You know, the 200th is a milestone I had envisioned, but it was so sweet when it got here. I'm humbled for the mounting support for the podcast and frankly could not have provided the aftermarket this huge resource without the guests that have come on the show and shared their story and their passion. From service professionals to industry leaders, trainers, coaches, industry execs, et al. Now, I have 10 podcast alumni join me on the show, and the discussion became a retrospective on the entire catalog of content with a focus on what transpired with the podcast in the last year. Now, I know how much the podcast is valued in the industry, but to hear it from these respected peers, it shows how it has impacted so many lives. Now, you know, I care about building a stronger aftermarket to fundamentally transfer the way professionals think about their success by putting it out there in a most transparent way. So I want you to enjoy the behind-the-scenes moments, the nice accolades sent our way, and to the camaraderie that transpired during this fun and inspiring episode. Many thanks to Bill Nalu, Bob Greenwood, Bill Haas, Matt Fanslow, Barry Barrett, Jeremy O'Neill, John Epstein, Sherry Pheasant, Joe Hansen, and Tristan Rialabit, who stopped by to chat. Now, here we go with the 200th retrospective, and thanks for being here. Hey, welcome everyone to the 200th retrospective episode here for the Remarkable Results Radio podcast. And if you look around your screen, oh my, this is like, it's almost like a superpower group. It's amazing. Just great. And I'll go down the list here. Bob Greenwood from Automotive Aftermarket eLearning Center, Vancouver, British Columbia, was with us on episode 49. Did it recently at town hall session with us on succession planning. Shari Pheasant. And hopefully when this is produced, everyone's in the same position. I hate to call out a position and have you not be in it. Horsepower Strategy is a great episode, 68. Barry Barrett from RLO. episode 130 with me, and Town Hall Resolutions and the Great Traits of a Service Advisor. Jeremy O'Neill's here, Advisor Fix, episode 124 and 178. It was a face-to-face we did on digital sales process. And if you start thinking and listening to the people that are here and who they represent, and you're just brand new to the podcast and you realize you got to go back and listen to 200 of them to get the flavor and the mix of who has paid it forward. What a great group. Bill Nalu, way back, Bill, episode 39. And Bill's from Interstate Auto Care in Madison Heights, Michigan. He was also in episode 69 with the E-Myth, episode 118, Supplier Needs, and Town Hall Resolutions. I think I owe you a check, man.
I owe you.
I put the call
Check's
out.
Checks in the mail.
Bill always just boom. Joe Hansen, Gordy's Garage, episode 177. So a pretty recent member. He also snuck in on the Town Hall Resolutions. It was great to have you there. John Epstein, bottom left corner from John's Automotive Care, San Diego. He was in episode 119 with us, Town Hall Customer Loyalty and Service Advisor. He just met the call for two episodes. You did great. Thank you for all your input. And then Bill Haas from NACAT and the Haas Performance Consulting Group, episode 106. Bill, glad to have you here. And, you know, Bill's a pretty sought-after speaker at many industry events. And, boy, I hear his name drop just about everywhere. Top right corner, Matt Fanslow, shop manager and diagnostician at Riverside Automotive in Red Wing, Minnesota, who has occasional problems with bandwidth and microphone problems. And we're so happy he doesn't right now. Episode 122, which was a great ASE test uncovered. And then Matt came back, and since I appreciated what he did so much, and I said, you know, we should start doing technician interviews. And who better to pick for my first one than Matt Fanslow? And then he came up to do a town hall, best conferences to attend 2017, which was, I think, at the end of January. And that was where he had problems getting on and off. But when we finally got him on, he had a lot of great things to say. And Tristan Realbert, hey, Tristan, say hello to everyone. He's from Real House Automotive in Westmont, Illinois, in episode 179. Did I forget anyone? Obviously not. What a year it's been. Really a great year. Just about a year ago, March 17th was the 100th. This year, I added Tag Cloud, where you could actually go to the homepage and some other places, and you could literally look and focus, even drill down to, you know, listen to an episode that would feature a specific. We talk about E-Myth a lot. You could go to the Tag Cloud, click E-Myth, and see every episode. So, as I was looking at the level of content that we were creating, it really hit me as to how can we bring the listener more, if you will, the word intimate or closer or more engaged with the podcast. So we added Tag Cloud. And then I have to tell you a great story about my app. I created an app, and it's on Google and iOS, Apple. I go to Apex, right? And I got these great postcards that I'm handing out to people. They ask me who I am and what I'm doing and what is a podcast. And so they all had gray hair like me. Like you, John. And no one else is as old as us, John. Maybe Bob's getting there.
Wait a minute.
I know, it's smart.
Yeah. You know what I just wish we had here.
you too, Bill. I'm sorry. So I said, hey, do you have a smartphone? And they said, yes. I said, we'll go to iTunes. And they looked at me and says, I don't listen to music. I wouldn't have a clue how to go to iTunes. And then I went to some people that had Androids, and I says, can you go to Google Play? She says, I don't do And what hit me was is that I needed to have an app. Now, you still have to go to the App Store. You still have to go to Google Play, but I could actually walk them through, type in Remarkable Results Radio, press about two buttons, and boom, there's all the episodes. And actually, I'm a fiend. I was just recently at a garage users group that I joined here in Buffalo. One of my commitments this year was to go local. And so I joined a group, and it was so kind enough that Jasper Engines has a business development group that they included me in. And so after I'm done introducing myself and after we all broke up, I'm going to these smartphones and helping people download the app, and it's so darn easy. Now, the listenership went way up when people are recognizing that they have an app. And, you know, if I didn't have this eclectic group of alumni, and you're only a tiny little part of it, I don't think I would have ever had the notion to create an app. So I have so many other things to cover. We're going to spend about an hour together. But what one of the things that I really want to know from a lot of you is what does the podcast mean to you? And, you know, after your episode was done and you heard it, did you sound as good as you thought? Did you sound better? Was your message what you wanted to get across? And if you're so proud of it, how many times have you shared it?
Well, I'll go first. I'm the loud mouth in the group here with the high D personality. So if you guys can hear me, all right. Carm. You know, for me, the podcast is great. I think, you know, we live in this video age where we can stream videos everywhere, but for me, drive time is still university time. So the more that I can listen and learn, it's just fabulous. So being able to listen to the podcast, not just myself, but everybody who's here and everybody you've interviewed, you're providing such a resource to, you know, our industry. And now that I've got this new venture of being a shop owner again, it's like, oh man, I've got to go back to school. So what a great way to go back in there and learn. So absolutely. And then sharing it, I mean, the marketing aspect of it as well, the credibility that it brings to what I do, it's really a big validator for myself. So thank you, Carm, for all the work that you put in. And for people that think a podcast is very easy to do, yeah, just get a microphone and, you know, talk to some people and produce it. They have no idea the work that goes behind the scenes, especially the quality of product that you put out, Carm. So thank you so much. It's definitely been, I'll call it a game changer in my life for sure. So thank you. High five.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it. And you bring up such a great point. I would just love for any one of you to follow me through a week that it takes to produce two podcasts, to line up guests for all the future shows, and now to do a live town hall.
No, well, thanks.
And I have to tell you, when I bit off the town hall, I was just, you don't stop a person like me. That's just how I am. And I think you're all like that. And I went into it charging so hard. And I didn't realize it added, I really needed like an 8-day week in order to do what I'm doing. Know why you install Felpro, the gaskets professionals trust? Every part that goes into a Felpro box is validated and approved by a Felpro engineer. Product testing and validation is an integral part of Felpro's engineering, manufacturing, and field testing, where vehicles undergo tests that log over 1 million miles every year. They also reach out to you, the pro, through technology blogs and their technical forums to listen, learn, and keep in touch with you. It's amazing to think that Felpro produces over 325,000 gaskets per day. That's 325,000 per day in their 1 million square foot facility in Skokie, Illinois. Under the same roof, engineering and manufacturing uphold Felpro quality utilizing 4,500 active production tools with tooling tolerances to 5 microns. Now that's smaller than a human hair. A tight tolerance like that ensures the sealing ability of Felpro gaskets. And their own in-house chem lab develops proprietary formulations like PermaDry Plus to produce 35,000 molded rubber sealing components every day. Plus, with Felpro, you get coverage from 1955 of 96% of all domestics and 93% of all import vehicles. So feel confident that with new engines and new technologies, Felpro will be there with innovative solutions to solve your customers' sealing problems. Felpro, the gaskets professionals trust. Go to felpro-only.com for more information. Who else wants to chime in?
Carver, I just want to thank you for the approach you took. You make it easy for everybody. Certainly made it easy for me. And after watching the podcast over a couple of times, I realized I could have done it a little bit better. One doesn't really realize how you come across until you start hearing yourself sometimes. And it's different from a live classroom concept where you're in front of people. But the fact is, I found it a positive experience. Feedback I've been getting has really been interesting. When I'm putting all the podcasts together now, the feedback I get is some people amaze me. And that's free. And I said, yeah, you're dealing with people who are giving back to the industry and who really care. The other thing I really like, too, is listening to each of you and all the alumni group. There's a lot of consistency to the message, you know, the theme of the message and the point everybody's trying to get across, which I think is important for the industry to hear. versus, you know, 5-6 different flavors of the day. It really is coming across as professional, and a lot of professionalism just even on the screen here. And I love to push the topic, the trade days are over. This is truly a profession, because I believe it is a profession today. The amount of skill level you need to run a shop, the amount of skill level you require, the amount of knowledge you require, the trade days are done. So I think all of us get that, and I applaud everybody I met, and I'm looking forward to meeting a lot of you face-to-face at Vision and doing that. It's fun. Thank you.
Thanks for your input on that, Bob. You almost segued into one of my talking points today, and it was last year that I wrote a white paper about what were the top 8 strategies that came out of the first 100 episodes. And now when I look back into the 200 episodes today, without looking at who was on, without listening to any of them. And by the way, I do listen to a lot of old ones because I'm a perpetual student. I want to get better at everything I do. I want to be a better interviewer. I want to do everything better every day, all the time. So I just sat down and I wrote down business culture. I wrote down technician shortage ad nauseum. And it's not a negative thing. I wrote down technician training, overcoming obstacles, technology, vehicles, autonomous cars, digital vehicle inspections, service advisor training, creativity, and customer service. And I probably could have gone on and on, but to me right now, if I look back at the 200 and some of the passion that comes from our guests, those were, I believe, some stuff that creamed to the top. Now, scientifically, I may go back and listen and write down every key point, but I think we got it.
Hey, Carm, this is John. Probably one of even the more important things is not just technician training, service advisor training, but it's training for people like me that started out as a tech and thought, well, I'm a good tech, I'll make a great owner. And then, you know, got into it and was like, God, how the heck did I get here? And how am I getting out of this? So, you know, I was lucky enough to figure that out, lucky enough to come across some good people that shared some knowledge, joined some right organizations, people like Barry that goes out every day and, you know, tries to reel us shop owners in that are, you know, great techs and need to become better owners. So, you know, the training for the owners is probably right up there on that list.
I think almost everyone who's here has a business coach or is a business coach. And that's one of the things that I find so fascinating. You know, I always say that I interview the top 5%ers. And maybe it's just something that I feel good about, but it's not necessarily the top 5%ers, but it is a group of shop owners that strive to continue their education, to think outside the box, even break the box in concept. And I have to pinch myself every once in a while to realize of these interviews that I get, and I chase. I've got 100 shops on a list. And my greatest challenge, one of my fun pieces of challenge, team, is to continue to try to figure out how to break through, because I hear about them, I look at their sites, I read the articles that they've been mentioned in or have written, and I say, I want to interview them. I want them to be on the show. That only goes to show you how many people don't know about the podcast, as we are in our 200th episode with a live show every Friday. So thank you for that, John. Anyone else?
Carm, I just wanted to say that. Sorry, Barry. I just wanted to say that I appreciate what you do, because you keep this relevant, you know, to the, you know, second generation coming in. There is a shift in people that are, you know, moving up in the industry, and you doing podcasts, it makes it relevant. And even jumping on what Jeremy said about, you know, your university on wheels, and you're driving and listening and learning versus listening to the radio. So, you know, without you doing this and serving the industry like you do, it wouldn't be possible. So I just want to thank you for that.
Thank you. I'll send the check is in the mail. Appreciate that. Mr. Nalu, you've been quiet.
And I guess going back to episode 39, I got to say, Carm, I'm so proud of you, man. We live 50, 60 hour weeks, and sometimes even more than that. And it's such a joy to be today selfishly looking at how I can reach out to Joe, how I can reach out to to Kirk Richardson, who you interviewed just it just hit today, to be able to reach out to a Greg Buckley or Frank Lloyds, it's a big deal to have access to them, and to be able to do that sort of already prearranged because we've met each other that way.
Bill, let me stop you for a minute and mention, you know, we have an alumni group. It's a private Facebook group. And so who's ever listening to this, you got to be in the alumni to be in it. And I hesitated for so long to come up with it because you're also involved in 20 groups and in your coaching programs that I even thought that I should even be bold enough to try it. Are you kidding me? It's just
it's fantastic.
The contribution that's coming from the group is unbelievable. And I'm number one, I'm glad I made the decision and I defied what I thought was the right or the wrong thing to do. And more importantly, that the alumni feels that they want to continue to contribute to each other, even though they've paid it forward to the industry.
Well, the amazing thing about it is as I had mentioned once before, it doesn't add up. The wisdom, the collective wisdom, the collaborative wisdom that is in this network, in this community, doesn't add up. It multiplies. Because we're coming at it, there's so many different facets. I mean, we've got Jeremy opening up a shop. We've got shop owners going into coaching. And that bridging is just such an incredible – I don't know what else to say. So I guess
– Wait a minute. Whoa, Bill, Nalu, without words, something's wrong. Right, Barry? Something's wrong.
So what Bill's talking about with a collective knowledge, and I think that it's this idea of you've got linear steps, and if you take 30 linear steps, of course, you get to 30. But when you talk about exponential steps, exponential growth to the fifth power, you know, five to the fifth power is not 25. It's five times five times five times five. So I think what Bill was really getting at, if you take 30 exponential steps by taking the group that we have here, John, Jeremy, you know, Joe, all you guys and gal, and add these, and you go 30 exponential steps, you get 1 billion. So I think that's really what you're bringing, Carm, is this idea of bringing 1 billion. You know, we're all in 20 groups or peer groups, but, you know, I never get to hear Jeremy speak. And we're both service advisor trainers. And I hear all this great stuff about him. And I called him the other day and I said, hey, can I sit in? And he said, yeah. I said, I'll sit in the back. I won't say nothing. I'll just learn. But I get to watch and rewatch Jeremy talking to you guys. And we get this collective knowledge. And I'm like, yeah, great idea. That's a good idea. I never thought about that. And hopefully I bring that too with my Southern charm, right?
Oh, dang it. You have the.
Oh, yeah.
It's off the charts. It's so good. You know. You know that 70% of professional technicians install Moog? Do you know who is best in class in engineering R&D? Do you know who holds 47 patents and has 28 dedicated engineers on staff? Yeah, Moog. You should know that 85% of Moog socket-style components are manufactured in North America, and that makes Moog best in class for manufacturing. And since 1966, every NASCAR championship has been won on Moog parts. But you knew that. I know why you install Moog. They solve your problems. Over the years, Moog has provided problem-solving innovations like a patented pressed-in cover plate, powdered metal gusher bearing technology, compression-loaded ball joints with a pre-installed integral dust boot, and vertical control arm bushings. You know why you install Moog. Enhanced durability, improved performance, and ease of installation. For more information, go to moogparts.com. Now you know. And it's great to see all your family, you know, all the great things you guys all do with your families, you know, on Facebook. Bob, I was so impressed when you said you were going on vacation with, I think, your sons one time, and you said the cell phones are off, the computer's down, it's family time. I haven't forgotten that, but here I'm going on vacation. And I'm
doing a podcast.
You know, Carm, it's the first time I've really done it. I did it at Christmas, and it was the best 7 days. The first 2 days, I was going through withdrawals. I'll state that, but I got through it. My son brought me a bottle of wine. He said, "Dad, relax." So it worked just fine. But you know, it was amazing how comfortable it was because it it automatically engages you back into the real world and with the people in front of you. And it's worth it. And I'm surprised you're taking this down south with you, buddy. Like, come on.
You need I know that. But you see, here's the story. First of all, I owe the industry two podcasts a week. I owe my sponsor. Thank you so much to Federal Mogul for, you know, exclusive sponsorship of the podcast in 2017. And if not, we wouldn't be here unless people were willing to pay for that level of content on their very own. And who says that one day that shouldn't be, you know, part of the business plan? So I have to release three episodes while I'm away because I owe it to my listener. You know, there are people that have that smartphone app now and or that iTunes app, and they want it. It's, you know, they've settled that, you know, Wheel Time University routine. You know, on Fridays I have a longer commute and I want to listen to the latest episode. I don't want to disappoint. Part of the challenge that I have is to how to come up with what I do, my purpose. This year I wrote why I do what I do, but I just recently wrote this, you know, and I started to think about, as many of you have said, this altruistic perspective that I have in wanting to have myself be in a conduit for everyone to pay it forward. And I wrote this, I'm linking people that need knowledge and affirmation in a way that is easy to digest in their day-to-day life. Does that ring to you?
So if I could take a moment, this would be a good time. Yes, is that
yes,
right?
Yes, perfect.
Great.
Yes.
So, Carm, what I see you doing is we're in an industry where the paradigm shift is over. It's changed. And some people have changed with it. Others have not. That's why we have 56% of our independent shops looking at closing down and their exit strategy. And then he takes wine while I'm talking. Oh, wait, grape juice. That's why they're leaving the industry. And what's going to happen to those of us that survive? And how are we delivering our deliverable? And is it a best practice? And are we serving the new economic order versus the traditionalists? And so I see that you're gaining a synergy. You know, you guys talked about it already, Bill and Barry, that when we have the synergy and we have this common knowledge that other people are out there doing it with us, and we know that there's other angels, so to speak, that are willing to step out and willing to change and willing to challenge, then it works. I recently did a keynote up at Rebies in Napa in Northern California, and it was about cultivating change. And it was the hardest thing to do, just get up in front of a room full of guys that are technicians, 75% of them, and I had them all stand up so I knew, and that was the measurement. It was there. And tell them that. So a technician, their brain is, I need to figure out what's wrong. I better do it right. I'm going to get it right the first time. And if not, it's the part's fault. Just joking. And then I said, take that brain and turn it into a business owner. I'm going to get it right. I know what I'm doing. I've got this. And nobody else can tell me. And if it's wrong, it's somebody else's fault. And sometimes we get into that as business owners. And so I think the management consulting, the service advisor consulting, these conversations allow us to realize we're normal. And there's other people like us, and we want to change, and we can do this together. And it's really hard to do it by yourself. But when I look, I see people right now that are all over the country, and I know that there's more. And we're everywhere. We're like planted in this industry on purpose to change it. Bill, you've been around forever. You've seen the things that we've been through, and you know the travels we have to make to get to the change and how difficult it is. Jeremy, you're here 100% D. By the way, me too. It's just on a girl, so it's a little different. Right? There's a disc, right? We're having fun with that. And that's just taking next steps and doing things that are different and promoting people to do it. So I'm thankful because here we're striving to thrive. We're not existing. We're striving to thrive. And Carm, you've put us together and you go everywhere and you're the glue that's bringing us together. So thank you. You are the conduit. And we are grateful because we have a job to do. And those of us engaged are going to get it done.
Okay, horsepower strategies, glue, was that on purpose?
Ooh, no.
Oh, geez,
no. Darn. No. Horses are not glue.
Okay, all right. So I have a very dry sense of humor that sometimes doesn't come out in the podcast.
Those aren't Kentucky Derby horses, I'm sure.
Very good. Thank you, Shari. I really appreciate that. And every once in a while, some really cool things happen. And I get a letter from a young man who says, where were you 10 years ago when I was starting my business? And it just does. I can't tell you, Tristan, how It warmed my heart.
You know, I got to say, Carm, thank you so much for doing this podcast, because, you know, how I came about finding your podcast was one of my technicians. He was talking about listening to some motivational things on one of the channels. And I said, what's a podcast? And I said, you know what? I'll look up something, if there's an automotive spin to this. So I looked up, I basically searched automotive on the podcast, and then your podcast showed up. I clicked it. I listened to it. I'm like, oh my God, I've been waiting for this. You know, this should have been happening 10 years ago, because when I started my business, you know, I didn't really have the opportunity to go out and find shop owners or go to these conferences and find coaches and things like that. That came about later. If I came across something like this before, I would have gotten so much value. I would have probably sped up my growth a lot faster.
It doesn't take the place of anything that you're doing, but it, if you will, it shores it up. It adds an anchor, possibly pops an idea in your head.
Of course, yeah. I mean, somebody told me, or I read somewhere that, you know, motivational, it's kind of like motivation has to be taken like a daily dose of vitamins. You know, you have to take it daily. And if you live your life just going through work and doing your job in and out, you know, I mean, where do you get motivation? And my drive to work, and I'm listening to everybody's podcast interviews, and I get so much value just driving to work. You know, by the time I get to the shop, I'm all fired up and ready to go.
So here's a story with Tristan. I get his email. I search for him. He sends me his phone. We talk, and it comes to find out that he was a fan of Mitch Snyder's, and he bought all his books, and he did AMI, and he met Mitch at a conference. And when I heard all that story, I said, we have to tell your story, because that's what podcasting really is. As much as there's a message and there's a lot of insight and ideas that can come out of it, podcasting in its purest sense is storytelling. And you had some excellent, excellent stories. Like, actually, everyone here has. Couple of things that we'll get to everybody else, but I want to, you know, go back and forth a little bit. This year, I'm going to have a studio at Vision High Tech Training and Expo. How exciting that is that? It's an 8x13 room that I'm going to dress up with 4 mics and my computers and cameras, and we're going to be there and do some damage. We're going to have a lot of fun. So that's a big, momentous step for the podcast. Again, as I said, I did my first technician roundtable. I went to G. Trulia's big event this past year and interviewed technicians during all the training. That was an interesting move. Joel Ayers from AACF, the Automotive Aftermarket Charitable Foundation, episode 128. You sometimes listen to these podcasts and you hear the raw emotion come out in the stories. And that's one of them that was off the charts emotionally, because it's all about helping each other when our peers fall on some hard times. Did the world know that AACF was out there to help people that have, you know, that are only aftermarket people that have gone on hard times? That was special. The Mustang Man, Giuliano Zuccato, I met. Bill, it was interesting. You were speaking at that AVI luncheon, and then Giuliano Zuccato got up. You remember that?
Yes. Yep.
And I went up to Giuliano, and I said, could you sign his 8x10 that he had there? And then when he was all done with everybody, you know, gathering around him, he starts to walk away. And I went up to Giuliano and I said, Mr. Zuccato, my name is Camanuccia Capriato. And he looked at me and he goes, Italiano. And I said, yes. And I handed him my card and I said, I'm a podcaster and I need an interview. And he said to me all at once, what's a podcast, right? And which is something I always have prepared for my answer. I told him what it is. He gave me his card. We have spoken almost every week ever since Apex. Of course, I had him on the show. And it's the Mustang Man episode, and I call it Legacy because, of course, he was one of the original clay sculptors on the 1964 Mustang. He talked about Bill Ford and Lee Iacocca. Of course, we kicked off Town Hall Live, and I did my first leadership author, Jim Cathcart, and it was episode 166, and it was unbelievable to be able to pick up the phone, dial the cell phone of this
guy who's been on TED 800,000 times, who's written, I think, a dozen books. And he's a friend of ATRA, the transmission group, and Roger Bland. And Roger said, you got to interview Jim Cathcart. He's an automotive guy. He plays guitar. What an interesting episode. I call him up. Here's a guy who I would have never, ever thought in a million years I could interview. He picks up the cell phone and we speak for an hour. So, Matt, you've been quiet, and maybe your microphone doesn't work now. But, Matt, you were so kind to now here's a guy whose relationship and I and just about everyone here. But Matt, extra special, once a week. It's usually Thursday or Friday, and I'm not quite sure. On his way to work, he's got a half-hour commute. He calls me up, and he says, what's up? And we end up speaking for the entire commute. And him and I are working on projects together, believe it or not, because he's got this incredible perspective as a technician, one of the most valuable parts of our entire industry. Matt, talk to me.
I guess I was going to toss out that you're kind of serving as a historian, kind of an industry historian. You know, just take that ASC roundtable. I think Dan, Ryan, and I could have gone another hour easy. But how many shop owners have no idea what goes into an ASC test exam, the creation, the development, the maintenance? A lot of them think that it's just a couple of ASC employees that sit in a room in the back writing down questions. So you put a lot of people in touch with that. And then, you know, just 199 other people that are now easily accessible for a large number of us in the industry that normally we may not have had a chance to hear. That's pretty impressive.
We're working on projects together. We really are. He just sent me his bullet list of other things that we want to hammer out from a technician's perspective. He's got the idea of technician and service writer, you know, maybe a town hall live. You know, what's that communication level worth? What's it all about? How important is it? And, of course, a good friend of yours, Dave DeCourcy, passed. And
yeah, I was going to say, I don't want to wish that guy – I don't want to wish him because I'm over too. I don't want to wish him well because I did that and struck out twice.
Yeah, don't wish anybody any good luck who is ill. But this legacy thing, when I interviewed Giuliano over his social post, it says legacy. And then Matt and I were talking about – you know, doing some, maybe a celebration of life round table. And we talk about the value that certain people bring to the industry. And I've shared the legacy concept with a few very close people and said, hey, can you get me this person to interview? Because here's what I want to do. And I'm interviewing a shop owner when I get back, and he's second generation. Kind of, Joe, it reminds me of you and your dad. And I've already picked three sons who I've interviewed, and they say that they can get me their dads, and I want to bring their dads on, and I want to do this interesting perspective on when they started their business to where they are now. Sons in charge, how do they see their business? You know, what kind of reins have they given or not and taken? And I thought it would be so interesting. And then my waking thought this morning was, wait a minute, why don't I have the son and the father on, and all six of them, and will I get a better episode? And here I'm talking shop with you all, but again, I've been an open book, and I don't mind having someone have a better idea and share it with me.
Well, the other thing I think is important is your genuine interest and curiosity in what every interview, you have an earnest interest and curiosity in them as a person, their business, their passions as it relates to what they do daily. And I don't think that could be overstated how important that is to the podcast, and probably really contributes to how well they turn out, not just, you know, how well they sound, but also the content. It's your genuine interest, Carm.
Well, thank you for that, Matt. I appreciate that. I am a genuinely curious fellow. If I was more mechanically inclined, I'd be taking apart stuff because I want to know how it works. And in business, I want to know how it works because there's all forms of success that have come from good leadership, good mentoring, good culture, big on culture. did a great episode today on for ASA, actually. You know, I do podcasts. I do their member profiles. And I just did one from a guy in Alaska who's all about culture, an $8.5 million business. He's 40-some years old, and it's all about culture in his business. So I'm a big fan of that. I said, I'm curious as all get out. So you would have imagined I would have had to ask questions. How do you get parts to Alaska? You know, it's just my level of curiosity. You mean you don't have 30-minute delivery? You know? Thanks so much, Matt. I sure appreciate it. Mr. Haas.
Yes, sir.
Can you bring your laptop camera down a bit so we can see more of
less of my forehead?
Face? Hey, glad to have you on. Thanks for coming on. I know you're a busy guy.
Well, thanks for having me. I appreciate it. It's a great group. I love being part of this. The just my story real quick with Carm is somehow I found your podcast, latched onto it somehow, and was listening to it regularly. And the day that you called me was actually almost shocking for me, because I thought, why is this guy calling me? He's got all these incredible people he talks to and all these great stories he's told. What does he want from me? And so it was really, you know, a great compliment for me to hear from you and be invited to be on the podcast. And the thing that I see about the podcast that I think is so important is you've opened something up that the industry's never had access to before. And I can relate to it in something I did in a previous part of my career, where I would actually manage putting on conferences and bring people in to make presentations and do seminars and share their knowledge. And it wasn't that many years ago in this industry that people were very protective of what they knew or how they might share it. And what your podcast has done is your podcast is blowing the doors open on that and giving people a venue for being willing to have the new openness about sharing their knowledge, their experience, and helping others. So I applaud you for that. You've done a phenomenal job with this, and I hope that the larger group of the industry can appreciate what you're doing and the ground that you're breaking with this.
Yeah, thanks for that perspective, since you're a business coach. And, you know, our episode was about NACAT, and Bill's the managing director, the leader of NACAT. And I was in this real big education mode when I reached out to you, because I think I had just interviewed Trish Ceratori, and I said, I got to do something on NACAT, and boom. And, of course, I had Georgia Rants on just recently. And boy, you talk about all you have to do is listen to Bill Haas and George Ahrens, and you get everything you ever possibly wanted to know about education right there. It's a double dose. And, you know, I love what you say about the protectiveness of insights, trends, expertise, and ideas, because that's basically what I think you were saying, that it's a big world, but it's a small world. We did a podcast, Matt, you were on it, just our live last Friday. And this, it was about the best training seminars to go to in 2017. And, you know, Pete Meyer was on, Sherry Hamilton was on, Matt was on, Brent Berman from Federal Mogul Guru Garage was on. And the bottom line is that they're all kind of – there's competitive training seminars out there, Auto Mechanica and Vision. And it was like there's 700 and some thousand technicians in the industry. When you add up all that, to your point, Bill, it's a big world.
Yeah.
And it's not like any one person's going to dominate. There isn't one business coach who's going to dominate. There isn't one trainer who's going to dominate. The message is, what's the message? Just go get it. You know, go find it. Go get it. Belong, engage, listen, do, change, lead. And you know, and that's truly the message that you all bring to the topics that you discuss in public or that's on your website. And I guess I'm just putting that in words and bundling it up, if you will, in a nice, succinct listening form.
Well, I think the thing that we can really hope for, Carm, is that you're doing this on such a regular basis that we can affect change quicker. Where in the past, there would be big gaps of time between the opportunities that people would have to go listen and learn or get that education. You're doing this now on a regular basis that I think we can affect change much quicker.
Well, thank you for that. And, you know, I just want you to remember what you said. And if you come up with any ideas that would – hey, listen, if I have to do three podcasts a week and one of them has to be a particular flavor, topic, or series, I will. I'll figure out how to get it sold. I'll figure out how to hire people to help me. I mean, I'm getting to that point where if this is the right conduit and if you go back 200 episodes – there's a lot of content. There's a lot of stuff to listen to. There's a lot of great ideas. There's a lot of, you know, the same talk. Yeah, I thought I was the best technician in the world. You can't listen to that story enough because everyone had a different way to get out of it. And that's the true piece. Here I'm sitting interviewing people. I'm so excited to hear the story. I was the best tech in the world. You think I'd be bored right now. Oh, here comes another one of those. You know, I was the best tech in the world and the worst businessman. I love it because I guess I truly enjoy people's stories. And I try when I do the interview, I have to do two things. I have to figure out an episode flow and the questions, and I have to react to the answers. And I also have to sit up over here and I have to listen as if it was my listener. And is my listener getting what they should be getting from this episode? And I just have so much fun doing that. Bill, thank you so much for that. Joe Hansen, Gordy's. Hey, Joe. Glad to have you here.
Good to be here.
What's going on with you?
Well, everything's good. We're having some fun here in Michigan. Business is good.
Do you know Mr. Nalu?
I do. He's just about 5 miles away, right?
Yeah, about 5 miles or so.
Yeah, right down the streets. Same neighborhood.
I know my competitor, but I have no competition.
Right?
Right.
There's more than enough cars. It's not about a finite piece of pie. It's about making the biggest pie we've ever, you know, you could ever imagine. You could ever not imagine, right? It gets bigger.
So, Joe, after you listened to your podcast, what did you think of your performance?
I'm a hard critic. I got to admit, I don't listen to it, like hearing myself. Probably just like, maybe my wife doesn't like hearing me either. It was a lot of fun to do, and I appreciated the opportunity for sure. And hopefully it, you know, gave some type of value to other people listening and that. But I don't like listening to my own voice. I think that's probably pretty common amongst most, but it was a lot of fun. I had a blast. That's the first podcast that I actually participated in. So, you know, I appreciate that.
And I appreciate you coming on. I mean, this is, you know, again, another great second generation interview.
Yeah, we're having, and like I said, we're having fun, learning a lot from everybody on here, as well as listening to the other podcast members and that. And it's priceless information. You know, really, when you look at, you know, like I think Bill was saying, it wasn't too long ago, people were not willing to share information, and it's. That's true. And I think there's still some people today that don't like to share information, and even maybe companies that teach, they don't like to share information. They think it's like proprietary or something. Whereas, you know, I view it differently. I appreciate being able to help another shop owner, and I really appreciate it when they give information back to me to help me. So it's much more of a community industry today, the way I see it, compared to the way it was when my dad started. And I like that because it's almost like, even though we're not in business together, we're still in business together, and we're in it for the whole, for the industry, if you will. And it gives you hope that you can succeed in business because it's scary. Sometimes it's real scary, especially when you didn't start it in your second generation. There's a lot of things that I didn't have to go through that my dad did. But because of that, you know, there's a lot of doubts that you do have. But then when I talk to, you know, to Bill or to other guys in our 20 groups, and I listen to their stories and I listen to the podcast, it gives you belief. And if you have belief, you have hope, you take some action, and you really can succeed. So that to me is where the industry is going. It's more of a community type business. So
a little bit of pressure on you as a second generation.
Yeah, but I love it. I like the, you know, like Jeremy, I'm a high B, and, you know, that's good sometimes and bad. Sometimes you run people over, but, you know, I just, you know, give me a challenge and a checklist and let's knock it out of the park.
You know, what's so interesting is when I sold my business and went to work in a for my distributor, my boss was a high D. And I don't know if anyone can figure me out, but at the time I took a disc, I was a high E or an I, if you will.
That's right. I think you're an I.
I am an I know. And I've taken PDPs, discs, and I'm an I. So I had a tough time trying to figure out how to have a relationship with a high D. Thank God I went through all kinds of disc training, and I got the big book, and I read it, and we implemented it in our company. And that, to me, is when I have a pre-call with all my guests, I figure it out so that when I do the interview, even though I'm kind of in charge, if you will, I can't be in charge, okay? My guest has to feel comfortable. And that first, if you will, 4 or 5 minutes is one of the most critical parts of developing that relationship with my guest and letting him or her feel comfortable. Because once you get comfortable, you share. And, you know, I think you'll
good
see
leaders
that
are there's, vulnerable. Good leaders yeah, they, are vulnerable. Yes.
That's right. And that's what's been so wonderful about looking back at the catalog. And you know, I'll tell you, when I go out in my car, I have my app and I go back and I listen and I continue to refresh and become humble as to I could have done this better or that better. And there are some interviews out there that are just classics. I mean, one day, 200, 300, 400 episodes will be out there. And we'll probably build, you know, if you will, an almost classic library out there. Like, you know, you may have your favoritist song, you know, you just got your top 10. Well, somehow I believe that we need to go out and ask our listeners, what's your favorite episodes? And, you know, go out and have this, if you will, listener. So there's nothing off structure. If we can think it, we can do it. So I just want to offer that up to everybody here. One of the things, and thank you for that, Joe and Shari, interesting, you know, we have categories. You go to the homepage, you can click on any category, if you will, a genre and niche right into a specific subject. So I'm proud of this. Industry thought leader interviews, 42 of them. Coaching advice leadership interviews, 18. Industry woman series, 30 episodes. Technology, 15. Support services, 9. Training future technicians, 31. Multi-shop owners, 13. Technician talk, 8. And of course, the entrepreneur interviews in aggregate, total 96. The thought leaders, 90. And the face-to-face is 14. And it's amazing when I look back that I'm recording. Yeah, we're recording this because I want to get it ready to go out March 3rd. Ironically, March 3rd, I'll be at Vision. And I'll have my studio there, and this episode will release while I'm at Vision. So there's just incredible things going on with the moon and the stars in alignment, it seems. And especially being able to get all of you on this at once. I would have never thought we could get, you know, 9 or 10 of us up here on the screen at once and have a very good and intelligent conversation.
Hey, Carm.
Yeah, Shari.
I want to throw something out there. I was reading from the Auto Care Association, and it said that in 2017, that the automotive aftermarket is going to be worth $273 billion, that it will be a $35 billion increase from the year prior. Billion, that's not M, that's billion, and that there are 4.2 million million people working in the industry, and we're going to get more. So anyone that thinks that the industry is dying or it's having trouble, we've got to squelch that rumor. We are hot. We need a Got Milk campaign or a Just Do It campaign. We all need to be involved in it so the consumer understands our value. Our marketing needs to be consistent to show that we're not what we used to be and we're different. And I think that we all can get together. I just want to share those numbers so everybody can think about those and understand the weight of who we are and what we can do.
Yeah, and it goes back to, I think, Bob Greenwood's opening comments about being a professional. We're in a professional industry, and some of the players in it don't necessarily know that. They don't necessarily act that. I see such an evolution, and I know this episode isn't about where are we going and how are we getting there from this day forward, yet consolidation, both at all levels at the service sector, where the franchises are getting bigger and certain groups are buying other groups from the service sector, the distribution business, there's an acquisition every couple of weeks. Amazon's becoming a player, bigger than ever. So I'm developing a Town Hall Live all about this consolidated industry, and I'm interesting to get the dialogue started on that. And hopefully, you know, maybe it needs to be a quarterly dialogue. I'm not sure with, you know, different players and different members of the industry, how they see it from their angle. There's not necessarily the right answers for everything that we do going forward, but that awareness, team, you got to be tuned in. You got to be aware. You got to be ready to almost mentally think about where the evolution of your business is going, so that when it gets really close to hitting and you pivot, in many cases, you've already been there. You know, you've already been there. You've already got your plans made out. And then sometimes you can be just leading the pack and do some crazy and interesting things, like go out and buy a shop. Right, Jeremy? Yes. So tell me about that. What was that big move about?
Oh, wow. It was a bet that I lost my wife to challenge our marriage and see how strong it was after 7 years. So on a serious note, you know, for me, training's always been about providing real world material. And I see this shift coming. And for me, I wanted to get back in as a shop owner to really create a test market where we could try new things out and see frontline what's working, what's not working. And, you know, we did that episode on the digital sales process, and it was very interesting to hear and to see it in action, where 60% of my customers right now don't have an email address. And, you know, I'm the skilled trainer that teaches people how to get the email address from customers. And I'm finding that if you have a shop and you say, we're going to go 100% digital, 100% paper, well, if you don't know your demographic, you guess what? You could be preaching to the wrong choir there. So for me, it was all about getting back in the business and taking absolutely one of the worst shops in America, turning it into one of the best shops within a 12-month period, and just running and really trying it out real world.
Okay, I can't wait to read the case study on that.
Absolutely, yeah.
Hey, Carm, question for you, yeah, if Bill. We can. Yeah. So you've got a background in the parts industry.
Yeah.
So what's your take on the AutoNation announcement at NADA about doing their own parts?
And how about Motorcraft announcing Omniparts?
Yes.
And that was their own parts for non-Ford aftermarket and AutoNation. You know,
and Amazon.
That's an interesting side piece, Bill. You know, you've got two companies that they're going to introduce new brands, and then you've got Amazon, who doesn't care what they sell, but that's going to be cheap, and they claim fast. Bill, I'm not sure this is the moment to have that discussion, but, you know, I stay so close to that, and, you know, because that's my pedigree, if
sure,
you will.
Sure.
And you know, I picked up the phone and I call my friends in the industry and I say, so what do you think of this? No one, it's like, listen, the manufacturers are looking for action and volume, and they'll, you know, there's only a core group of manufacturers, no matter if it's in China or the U.S., that have manufacturing, engineering that can literally create the catalog of parts for these companies. And I find it so interesting that Ford would be doing what they're doing. And it don't behoove me. It's way above my pay grade to make that decision. But to brand their own parts, where does it really matter? Does it matter what name is on the box? I guess that's my question to the technician and the shop owners that are here. Does it matter what brand is on the box? And then you ask yourself, so what, as a service professional, do I need from my supplier? And it goes back to what I want to have in a discussion about Amazon versus, and it doesn't matter, the traditional side. And we, on the alumni group the other day, didn't we have an interesting discussion? There were 19 or 20 back and forths on this whole thing. Do you value availability? Do you value service? Do you value relationships? Do you value brand? You know, it's like, you know, the old story, I have three things to offer, pick two, because it's all I really can give you. Can Amazon satisfy that quench that you need if you live in Houston and they have a DC there and you could get a delivery within an hour? I guess maybe you're buying from Amazon, but how does the return, you know, do you pick up the phone and call someone from Amazon and say, hey, where's the credit on that core? I don't think so.
So Carm, let me ask you, you've been 200 episodes, right? 199 were basically you interviewing people. And you've got all this knowledge stored in your head. You had a lot of knowledge. Now you've got all this knowledge. If you take the cumulative knowledge and you put it together, what's some of the best advice that maybe surprised you that you've learned after interview after interview after interview?
Wow. I love to ask those tough questions to people.
Me too.
As good a job, trained Barry. Professional service advisor, this is what I teach. The quality of your questions will determine the future you experience. And if I get you to answer this question, boy, will I learn something good.
I don't know if I could immediately give you a spontaneous, intelligent answer, Barry. What? Again, it was about the collectiveness of what seems to the top.
I'll clarify. If you had to give me, maybe it's three things that says, I've interviewed these people and this shows up over and over again. And this is the number one thing, one of the top three things that over and over again, this is what equals success by the service advisors, the trainers, the shop owners, all these people.
Well, you put me on the spot, but I just wrote three down. So thanks for giving me some time to think about it. So here's my top three, not necessarily in any specific order. The customer is king. There's nothing in the world that you can do but learn to have empathy. You know, the platinum rule for the customer, walk in their shoes, take them to their car. When I hear people describe to me their customer service culture, and you can go back to a lot of episodes and just listen to them. You know, and we're going to have a town hall live on concierge service here in about a month. And I'm so curious to hear about what that nth level of customer service is like. So customer service, number one. And then when you listen to, like, for example, today, you know, Kirk Richardson in Culture. Bill, I don't know if anyone listened to that episode today, but this guy's 34 years old and he's got a culture. I mean, he sent me everything. And the guy from Alaska that I interviewed for ASA today was all about culture. And when I go back to these episodes that talk culture, they have family, team is family. They have these core principles that they always move to. They police themselves when it comes to new team members. The team dynamics get crazy out of whack if the wrong person's hired. And Barry, it's a great question for this reason. And Bob, it goes back to what you said about the professionalism. Let's stop thinking small. Let's stop thinking homegrown. Don't forget where you came from and think about where you're going.
Thank you for saying that.
And that's where I think this whole culture piece comes in. Coaches here, let's get those seminars out there on how to develop a good corporate culture. And maybe you do. But if not, that needs to be, you know, that 2 to 3 hour, that, you know, 5 hour, that 8 hour course on teaching people how to. It's not vision, mission, and values as much as it's purpose. It's purpose and core values, and everything is designed around that. When I listen to the teams that have that, the owners are in Mexico and their business is running because they know it runs. And then thirdly, when I ask people, is there a technician shortage? And they say, no, they have the right attitude. Okay. They've done the right things to build their core, to mentor people, to be involved with their community schools, to build and develop, and technician shortages go into the value of training and the number of hours they get in the online courses, and I pay, you know. So there's a bunch of subsets to each of these. But Barry, to answer your question, there it is.
I love it. That's a great answer. I think culture is the idea. And John asked me if I teach a culture class. And I have a 3-part series on that. And I don't want to shamelessly plug it, but it's okay. That built first. It starts with building the best you. You cannot build a great culture if everybody on your team isn't the best version of themselves. So I spend an enormous amount of time on building the best you. I'm walking my brother's shop through a year-long session with this. And every this morning, 7 a.m. this morning, we taught building the best you. And then we transitioned from building the best you to building winning relationships. And then after that, you transition into team building or a goal setting and achievement. And it's this idea of be, do, and have. You have to be the right kind of person in order to do the right kind of things so that you can have all that life has to offer, some of the things that money can buy, but all of the things that money cannot buy. And people want these things. They want to be happy. They want to be healthy. They want to be at least reasonably prosperous. They want to have peace of mind, security, hope for the future. They want to love, and they want to be loved. And those are the things. And if you can reverse engineer your sales process to help them, your customers, with all of those things, you'll have a great experience.
You know, you can tell he's a Zig Ziglar coach, right, everyone? And I tell you, if I'm you're ever near in a city near where I am, I want to sit through your classes. I'll swipe my card anytime, Barry. Thank you. Okay, hey, this went beyond my expectations. Thank you for allowing me a little time to chat. Thanks for the tough question, Barry. That was really good of you.
So clearly Sherry is the youngest looking one here, but I'm gonna venture to guess that Tristan is the youngest one chronologically speaking here, right?
Politically right.
Exactly. And so to piggyback on what Bill was saying earlier about the fact that shops don't seem to want to cooperate. Rest assured, that paradigm has blown up and it's changing. If you look at Google, for example, they keep their, whatever you call that, the code, their the way that they rate websites and what have you, they keep that private. But in reality, when you look at the competition, how long does that really last? They've got to change it every other week, every month. It's got to change. This is the new paradigm. Evolutionarily speaking, our industry is going to depend on us challenging each other and saying, you build a better mousetrap so that I can build a better mousetrap. And only through that can we do the great things that we're talking about. And so my appeal to the younger generation is something that I picked up. This is what I ran over too. But I picked this up in Arizona, and it's a Native American proverb. And it simply says, we do not inherit this earth from our ancestors. We borrow it from our children. And isn't that a wonderful thing to think about if we carry that into this industry? What are we going to hand over to them? And so me being 52 and I've got a good solid 10, 20 years left in me, I want to hand over an industry that is respected above and beyond any of the skilled trades. I'm still amazed that we have a technician shortage. Well, why wouldn't we have a technician shortage? The guy's got to invest $100,000 and if he's lucky to ever make it to $100,000, meanwhile, electricians and plumbers have the same tools that they had 20 years ago. Their jobs are easier. They're dealing with PVC piping. They're not dealing with lead and solder and copper. And so we have to look at that and be the conduit for this change. And I'm looking specifically to guys like Tristan, the younger guys. You guys need to push us as hard as we can to provide you with this. And by the way, one more thing. The idea that you have to be older and wise to be mentoring, I think is a misnomer. Mentoring is much like, what is that saying, Barry? You probably know, is if you want to learn something, teach it, right? Fake it till you make it.
I say fake it till you become it.
Exactly. We just got to put ourselves out there. And so don't sell yourself short. You're mentoring while you're being mentored. It's all a full circle. There's no upriver stream here.
Bill, thank you so much for that. And I guess I'm going to sum it up based on the comments you just made, that you're really talking about paying it forward.
Or paying it back, for that matter, too.
Or paying it back. And really, when I speak to a potential guest, and I think so many of you on this phone have possibly had an email from me that may have said that you're really coming on the show to pay it forward. And a lot of people that, you know, write back to me and say, so why would I want to be on your show? And I said, well, if you've got that giving spirit and you want to pay it forward, then let's get your story told. And why don't you share some of your insights into the industry? And that's what you're really saying. And I think that's what the podcast and the alumni group has been doing right along. And I can't do it without you. I can't do it without the guests from next week and the week after that. And I can't do it without the alumni participating in the town hall, because you're all wanting to give in some unbelievable, you know, manner in your heart. You're all givers. I don't think I've paid anyone here to be on the show to do your podcast. It's amazing. Now, I'm probably going to start getting bills in the mail. No doubt.
Never too late to start, Carl.
Send me an invoice.
I won't turn it down.
Right.
I bet you won't, huh?
I think Buckley's the only one that gets a retainer, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. He promised me an oil change one day if I drive down to his place. So maybe that's not quite right. I don't know. But thank you all so much for being here. Yeah, we had Jerry Kazaya, Buckley. Oh, you know, that's what I forgot to mention. Bill Naylor was on episode 100.
Yeah. I'm older than I look, right?
Hey, Carm.
You know, yes.
You could look at it from a selfish point of view. If there's 10 shops in my area and I teach them all, bring them up, get them at my level, they're going to be allies. You know, it's not going to be a new shop opening up, charging $50 an hour, doing a bunch of crap work, and then I have to come around and, you know, try to get my customers back because they left for searching.
All ships rise.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So if you bring everybody up, you help keep them there, it just works better for everybody.
So that could be the new mission of the podcast, is we help, you know, rise the tide for everyone. And great point, Bill. Or John, are you doing that really? Are you getting engaged with people in your market?
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm in my Napa group, ASCCA. You know, I've go out to other shops and just give them a hand, whatever they need. So, yeah, it's a great way. Like I said, I do it because I want to help out. But on the selfish side, it keeps everybody at that, you know, at a better level. And, you know, there's 50,000 cars drive my shop every day. I don't want every one of them in my shop because I'd never get anything done. So.
And, you know, the thing I know about John Epstein is that every time I put out a request for a Town Hall Live, he signs up. Thank you so much for that.
Hey guys, I just want to say something real quick before we go. I just want to thank everyone, and I'm it's an honor to be in this interview with you guys and to be part of this. I've looked up to many of you. Joe, I've seen Joe at a Ratchet and Wrench magazine. Is that correct? Yes. Bill, I've listened to your podcast. Shari, Jeremy, and Mr. Haas. Actually, I've been to Mr. Haas' classes once. And Jeremy, I have one of your recordings in one of your classes as well. So it's a pleasure to meet all you guys and to be part of this. So thank you.
All right, team. Well, you gave me an awful lot of your valuable time.
Thanks, Carm.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Thanks, Carm.
Thank you all so much. Appreciate your friendship. Hey, there you have it, episode 200, a milestone for the automotive aftermarket, an achievement that could only be possible except for the aftermarket professionals like you, willing to help lift the industry by sharing their story of remarkable results and for being such a loyal listener. Again, I thank my episode guests, Bill Nalu, Bob Greenwood, Bill Haas, Matt Fanslow, Barry Barrett, Jeremy O'Neill, John Epstein, Sherry Pheasant, Joe Hansen, and Tristan Rialabit for their contribution to this great milestone. Here's to the next 100 podcasts, to the Town Hall Live shows, and to the exciting future of the Remarkable Results Radio podcast. You know, I love bringing like-minded people together that want knowledge in a way that's easy to digest in their day-to-day life. And always remember, listen to learn just one thing. Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from another inspiring aftermarket professional. Until next time.